Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, Essie.
Hey, up, ducky. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You sound a bit snotty.
I know. Well, guess what I've got?
You have got COVID.
I have, and it's no laughing matter. I've got COVID and I've had it for about 6 days now. I've lost all my sense of taste and smell. I've had a terrible, terrible flu. Not good, Jane.
Oh no, poor you, Essie. When did this develop?
Well, Jeannie got it off one of her friends. And so she got it first and then I caught it off her. Because it's really difficult to, you know, when you live in a flat, it's very hard not to catch it, you know. So
Tom got it as well.
He's got it as well, yeah. So we've been ever so ill. But today I'm feeling a little bit better. And I think knowing that I was going to be talking to you and I've just looked at my bees and actually that's perked me up no end.
Long hot days in the shade of some big old tree, making daisy chains and watching all the honeybees.
My friend dropped me some comedy large vegetables off the allotment because I've not been able to tend my crop. So I've got a couple of very large 10 inches, you know, courgettes. And, so my friend brought them round to see if they'd cheer me up.
Oh, but you won't be able to taste them.
I know. Jeannie got me eating a spoonful of chilli flakes last night to see whether I could taste them, but no, I couldn't taste them. I could taste the sort of sensation, but not really the flavour, not the flavour. And then today I thought, well, I'm going to try some Arbutus honey. I could feel all the bitter flavours on my tongue, but not the flavour of the honey. Ever so odd.
I know, I was like, well, I still am a bit like that. My taste is coming back a little bit, but it's now, 5 weeks since I got it, and it's still not fully recovered. So, yeah, I think it does take a while to revive.
I may as well eat sawdust and string for my tea.
it's not as nutritious, I believe.
I can't waste good food on not being able to taste it. I'm just going to eat. Just going to eat weeds.
No, you eat proper good food and that'll build you back up again.
Oh, no, yeah. But, oh, it's a right old bugger, this COVID, isn't it?
Well, I know, and for us food lovers as well.
Oh, no.
That's not a great thing, is it? That's not a good aspect of it.
No, it's when my taste went, I actually felt, I had a bit of a cry, actually, because I thought, well, at least I could have eaten my way through COVID, but now I can't even do that.
Oh, well, it might come back quicker for you, Essie.
It might.
Because you've had COVID before, though, haven't you?
Well, I thought I did, you know, at the beginning of the lockdown, but this is a completely different version. So last time, you know, I had a fever, muscle aches and a cough, and I felt like I lost my sense of taste for a day. That's all I noticed.
Mm.
But this time, this has been nasty like yours. A proper flu, a proper cold. Bad.
It's funny, isn't it? It's funny how it sort of takes different forms.
I know.
Because I didn't really feel coldy. I had a bit of a sniffle one day, but not much. It was mainly the cough and the loss of sense of taste and smell and a bit of a fever. But I didn't really have a proper cold.
It's so boring, isn't it, being ill?
Ugh.
And the thing that I really missed was when I just opened my hive. Normally, I just love the smell that you get when you open the hive. You know, it's just so beautiful and rich and warm. And I just I couldn't smell a single thing.
Oh, no.
I don't know. But maybe the bees, maybe the propolis I might have breathed in or the pollen, and maybe it might help. But
you sound okay, actually, Esther.
Yeah. Well, I think it must be the magic of the bees. And anyway, I couldn't believe it. I opened it. I just thought I'd have a quick look, see how much honey there is, and check everything's okay. A massive super of honey, and then one about half full. And then I felt like I could hear a funny noise. So I thought, oh, I'm going to check the brood. Because, you know, I'm not expecting any unusual activity because, you know, this swarm was pretty new. Anyway, I started looking through the frames. I saw the queen, and then I saw a queen cell.
Oh.
It's not capped, but it's just one queen cell.
Oh, and you don't think they're going to swarm, do you?
Oh, flippin' heck. Well, one queen cell usually just means that they're not very happy with the queen. Now,
Right. There's
a couple of things that could have been the cause of that, and that is me, because I took some frame of eggs out a few weeks ago to help that other colony make a queen. Do you remember the one up on the...
Yes.
Yeah. And then I did the same again about 2 weeks ago. I took another frame out. So I think they're probably thinking, oh, this queen's not doing well. You know what I mean? She's not laying enough workers. And so maybe they want to make a new queen. So what to do is the plan, whether to just leave it and let them make a new queen if they want. Or number two, just think, well, it's actually my problem. It's not the queen's. So just knock the queen cell off. Or number three, try to save that queen cell because I might need it still up at the allotment.
Right. I mean, if you think that they're a bit peeved with you because you've been doing these things, then maybe don't interfere right now with them. Just let them sort of get on with it for a little while.
Well, I've only got a couple of days. I can see that I've only got about probably 2 days before that queen cell will be sealed. And once it's sealed, well, number one, they could swarm off, but it's very unlikely because there's only one queen cell. Or it's a bit difficult to know what to do. I'll have to have a little think. It's been very comforting having the bees in the garden, and I've been able to watch them. And with all this funny weather, I don't know whether I mentioned to you last week, but I've been watching them come back when it's really rainy, and it's almost like they're on one of those bumpy slides in Hessian Sacks, and they sort of bump through the sky. I can see them coming from, it looks like...
Really?
Yeah. Looks like they're coming from the direction of Ali Pali.
Yeah.
And they were all coming back at the same time. And I could see them on the, you know, against the sky. And it was like they were all coming down a bumpy slide, you know. Woohoo! All coming back. And it really...
I'm brilliant.
It really reminded me of, like, being on one of those fairgrounds. Because in Nottingham, where I came from, you know, I used to love that fairground. And I used to love going on the bumpy slide. Did you?
Is that like the Helter Skelter thing?
Not the Helter Skelter. It's the one that all the kids go. They go up some big steps and then they get on a Hessian bag and then they
Oh, yes. Isn't that the Helter Skelter?
No, they all go in a row. So you can get about 10 people all going at the same time and they all come bumping down.
I know. There's one in Blackpool.
Is there?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I used to love that. And that's what the bees were doing. They were coming back as quick as they could with the shopping baskets. And, oh, my God, even me and Jeannie stood and watched them for ages. It was ever such good fun. It was really good.
Oh, did you film them?
No, because, of course, it was bucketing down with rain. But Jeannie's just made a little time lapse today, so hopefully we'll be able to put it on the Instagram.
Oh, brilliant. Excellent. Oh, it's nice that Jeannie's being involved with the bees as well.
I know. She's actually... I don't know whether it's because she's just bored because she's been in isolation or whether she seems like she's got a bit involved. She sent me the time lapse right up by the hive and it was, yeah, very nice.
Hmm.
They're such lovely bees, these ones in the garden.
I know you love those, don't you?
Before I knew I'd got COVID, I saw Brian and he told me the fate of the Manx who are in Borstal.
Oh, what's the fate? They haven't died, have they?
No. Well, one of them swarmed and it never got a queen. And so that became a queenless colony. the workers started laying drones. So, you know, when they don't have a queen, after a certain amount of time, the workers start laying eggs themselves. But because their eggs aren't fertilised, they just lay unfertilised eggs, and they're just like drones, small drones, and they don't really do anything, you know. So after a period of time, the hive becomes just chaos. The drones just eat all the honey and they all die.
Oh, God.
I know.
They've always been a troubled colony, haven't they?
They were troubled, yeah. But I think because they were so nasty and so defensive, I don't think Brian had much luck with them. And I know he was getting quite badly stung on his wrists through his gloves. And then the other colony, because remember there was two of them.
Yes.
They also swarmed. So they're just a small colony. So, yeah, not been great for the Manx in Borstal. They've not behaved good there, and they didn't behave good on my allotment.
Well, it's good that you got rid of them.
Yeah.
I think because you love... It's the olives, isn't it, in your garden?
Yeah, the olives, yeah.
Because you love the olives. I think I wouldn't interfere because I think that they are happy with the queen. I don't know why they've done the cell because obviously I don't know enough about it. Mm. But I bet they're not swarming. I bet it's something else. I'd leave them be and just let them get on with it.
But the only thing is, you see, they are behaving normally because they don't know that I took the eggs out to help the bees up at the allotment. They just think that where are the workers that should have hatched?
Right.
And they're not thinking, oh, it's Esther. She took them. They're thinking the queen didn't lay the eggs right. She's the one to blame.
Right. Oh, poor queen.
Yeah, so
that's rotten.
Yeah, so they're worried that it's her fault, and so they've made another queen cell to get rid of her. But she's such a nice queen, and she's been doing so well.
I know, but maybe when if this queen hatches, she just won't be as good as the existing queen, and she'll be killed and booted out.
Yeah, but remember, Jane, it doesn't work like that, does it? Because what's going to happen? What's going to happen if that queen hatches? Then that's the one that the workers all want, and then they'll kill the other queen.
I know, but it's working so well because of that queen, isn't it?
I know.
Oh, Esther, why did you do anything to them?
Well, I had to because I didn't have a queen in the other colony. Well, I did have a queen, but she never started laying, and she'd been there for 2 months.
Right.
So, you know, I've still got her in a little nuke, and she's still not laid an egg.
So she's not worked out anyway?
She's not worked out, no. So Stephen gave me the queen that was on the end of the pole from last week. Mm-hmm. And he gave me the little queen. I needed a queen. So I put her into my colony. And when it was time to release her, I tried to remove the little cap that then the bees eat through the wax. But it was really solid. The wax inside was so solid. And I thought, oh, they'll never get her out through this. So I opened it. You can like open it. It like slides open. But because obviously it had been in the hive for a few days, it was a bit glued up with propolis and whatnot. I did it. I slid it and then it popped open. And the queen, instead of going straight down into the colony, she just flew off.
Oh.
She flew back to Hampshire. Back to Stephen.
Oh, it's such a trial, isn't it, with these queens?
Well, she obviously wanted to go back and work for the Drone Congregation Centre. She didn't want to have anything to do with Crouch End Allotments. She said, no, I don't want to be in this hive. I'm off. I'm back to Hampshire. But the only problem is I don't think she'd make it because she was on her own and it's rather a long way to get back to Hampshire.
Oh,
it's not easy, you know, this beekeeping malarkey.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Somebody asked me recently about getting a beehive and I went, don't look into it properly before you do it. Don't.
Oh, no. It's always a trial and it's never quite what you think it's going to be, is it?
Well, no, but also you're very, very experienced. You've been doing it now for 13 years, haven't you? So, yes. You know, you're highly experienced. I think for a newbie to come in and maybe not realise the amount of maintenance that you have to do for bees, you know, it's not like you can just leave them and let them get on with it. Well, I suppose some people do. I can't remember who it was, whether I think it was Stephen, wasn't it, actually, who said read up, you know, do a lot of research before you actually do take on beekeeping.
Oh, yeah. A young lad that I know who's just started keeping bees, he rang me and said that he bought these two colonies and very quickly one of them was invaded by wasps and the wasps were going in and eating all the new little brood. And it had stressed the colony out so bad. Lots of things can happen, you know, even on Olive in the garden. I noticed there was a couple of wasps going around the other day, so I just made the entrance smaller and there it was fine after that. Yeah, but because, you know, it's not a massive colony, this one in the garden, but amazingly, they have actually made a load of honey to say it was only a small swarm.
So have you done any more spinning since we last... Well, I know you've taken off quite a bit of honey, but have you? How much more have you taken off since we did ours?
No, so I got a few more jars after I saw you, but no, I haven't taken any off, and I need to. I think we'll get another spin. We will.
Right.
It just depends. It just depends on whether, you know, how well it's gone. If the Queen came back, if she changed her mind at Paddington Station and came back. You know, since I got the swarm on that, I've just left them to it, you know. I've just left them to it. I've not really interfered, but I have taken two frames of eggs and brood out, and that's obviously what's done it. But that's the only interfering I've done this summer with them. I've not touched them. I've just let them get on with it. But we'll see. But what news have you got, Jane? What have you been up to?
Well, I've returned from Brighton, so I'm now back in London, and it's a beautiful day here. I think it's going to go off tomorrow, but it's lovely, and the garden's still full of colour, and it's gone a bit wild, actually, because there must have been a lot of rain here. I've not seen a lot of honeybees around. I don't know what's happened to my honeybees in the garden. I think, like you say, perhaps, you know, the local beekeeper may have lost his bees, but I've still seen quite a lot of solitary bees in the garden. I'm missing the sea, I have to say.
Oh, are you? Did you do lots of lovely swimming?
Yes, I did. I loved swimming, actually. So gorgeous. And actually, because I was building it up, when I was going in, I wasn't feeling the cold at all. And my body temperature was starting to get used to the temperature of the sea, which was amazing, actually. You know, because people were going to say, oh, were they not freezing? I thought, no, actually, it wasn't. It was really quite lovely. Aww. So I'm missing that. And I did my bike ride, which I haven't done for ages, in Twickenham today, because I've been doing it in Brighton. But I got a new bike in Brighton, and it's really nice and light. So it just felt like a cart horse, going out on a cart horse today on my old bike.
Did it?
It's weird, actually, because I've only been in Brighton 2.5 weeks, but it just, everything feels different. I mean, that's what's so lovely. You know, I've talked about not wanting to go abroad on holiday. I just think just differences between even those two places are just, it's magical, actually, what each place brings to you. You know, there's so much to offer, I think, in the UK. There's so many lovely places to be and visit.
Oh, yeah. Gloria's in the Isle of Lewis at the moment.
Oh, nice.
I know. And I was a bit worried because, you know, it's such a long way. And I was a bit worried that when she was on the island, she wouldn't be able to sort of get around. But a friend said, well, why don't we go on Hinge and see if we can meet somebody local? So they set about and they met this lad on Hinge. And then he's been their tour guide. He's taken them to see the standing stones there. And they've been to Stornoway and they've been round the island and they've got a tour guide from Hinge, so that's very good, isn't it?
Is Hinge not a dating site?
Yeah, it's a dating site.
So did they go on the dating site and say, we don't want to date you, but if you would be a tour guide for us, that would be brilliant.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And they got this lovely guy who took them all over, and he was very nice. And you know, I think he cheered him up and they had a good time.
Oh, lovely. That's nice.
It's amazing, isn't it, what you can do? Like, can you imagine arriving on the Isle of Lewis when we were kids and thinking, right then, how are we going to get to know somebody?
That's very ingenious, isn't it, of Gloria and her friend to think outside the box like that.
Yeah. We would have had to go through the telephone directory and phoned everybody in the Isle of Lewis until we got somebody put on different voices. Did you ever used to do that?
No, I didn't.
We did. We used to look through the directory and phone up and say, hello, hello. You know, I'm doing a Scottish voice now, but we didn't put funny voices on and say, hello, is that Mrs. Barbary? And Mrs., you know, because you knew who it was, didn't you? Because you could look.
And yeah, of course. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, we were so naughty. We used to spend ages.
And what did Mrs. Barbary say? What did you say to Mrs. Barbary?
We just said, have you got a nice son I can speak to? In fact, well, that's how we met a couple of lads who lived on the next estate for us, by going through the telephone directory. But, I mean, in those days, people must have got all sorts of silly kids like us phoning them up on the directory.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I was terrible, I was.
I was quite young and I'd done a film, Memphis Belle, and I had an American agent and she said, oh, come over and stay, you know, and I'll take you and to meet lots of casting directors and what have you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I went all the way over there and she realised what a small part I was playing in it. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't do anything to help you. So I was staying in her place and she abandoned me. I was there for 3 weeks and she just abandoned me. Oh. And there was a guy, a really sweet guy, who's sadly now deceased, called Dave, who cleaned her jacuzzi. And he took me all over Los Angeles, took me to Disneyland, took me to Venice Beach, took me to auditions. He was such a lovely guy. Oh. So, you know, you can, like you say, I mean, whether you phone up the directory or Hinge, you can meet sort of random people like that who just turn out to be such good eggs. And actually, you have a much better time with them because it is random like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is nice. I mean, there's something so lovely, isn't there, meeting a stranger and just having a moment. I remember when my dad died, I was at my sister's and I went for a walk and I was so overwhelmed with the grief. And there was this woman walking towards me and she went, are you okay? And I said, oh, no, not, I'm not. And she just like got me in her arms. I started crying. She just got me in her arms and I just cried and cried. And she said, she was called Helen. I didn't know her from Adam. And then she just... we just walked for a couple of miles down to the river and she just we just chatted and she was so nice. And then I never saw her again.
Oh, I know, but you're with her spiritually.
I know, but isn't it nice? You know what I mean? That people can be so lovely, can't they? I'm so emotional, Jane. It must be the COVID.
Yeah, but I think that those moments are much more touching than if it was with somebody that you knew. Unpredictable connections are the ones that you do remember, actually.
Yeah. People are so lovely, aren't they? I mean, when I went to LA with my friend who's an actress and she was, you know, nominated for a SAG award, and she gave me all her per diems, and I went off to spend them at the local, like, wonderful place. It was called Freddy's, I think. It was like this fabulous store, and I think she gave me a lift in her taxi. She was off to an audition or something. And at the end of the shopping trip, I'd spent all her per diems and I'd got my shopping bags full. And then I didn't know how to get back from to my hotel. Anyway, I was stood in the car park and I didn't have a number for a taxi. I didn't have a mobile phone. And then in the end, I thought, bloody hell, I don't know how to get back. I'm stuck. And so I knocked on the window of the store and I could see a lady, and she came to the door and I said, oh, I'm ever so sorry, but I don't know how to get back to my hotel. Anyway, so she said, don't worry, love, I'll take you home. Where are you staying? And I said, I was staying at this really posh hotel called Chateau Marmont. It's like where Howard Hughes and U2 stayed. Yeah, you know, it's really, I was honestly at the time of my life. So she said, I'll take you home, ma'am. And she put me in the back of a car. And when I got in the back of a car, she had about a million number plates on her back seat.
Oh.
And I had to squeeze in with all these number plates. And then she dropped me off on Sunset Boulevard and I was okay.
Nice of her. That's very, very nice. That's quite unusual, actually, for Los Angeles, isn't it?
I don't know, because it's the only time I've been in. I had such a wonderful time.
Maybe it's just you. I remember that because I'd done this film Memphis Belle when I went out there, and all the guys on Memphis Belle said, oh, you know, when you're in Los Angeles, give us a call and we'll go out. Anyway, they all left town when I arrived.
Oh.
There was just, I think, one left, and the director, Eric Stoltz and Michael Kasem Jones, who were actually really lovely with me, but the rest left town.
Oh dear. Well, you know, when you're in a strange place, it can be a bit lonely, but I had a lovely time.
Well, I think with Los Angeles, because you can't walk anywhere and you're very, very reliant on, you know, so you're reliant on people driving you, then it's strange, isn't it? And also because there's no centre to it. But I like you, had a great time because I was abandoned. Yeah, I think because I didn't know many people out there, and it all went a bit AWOL when this agent said that she couldn't do anything for me. It made me really resourceful and reach out to people. But I had a brilliant time. I had a romance as well.
Did you? Who with?
With Eric Stoltz's best friend. Well, he's now gay. So either I turned him gay or he was anyway. But we did have a very nice romance whilst it lasted in 1990. And whilst it lasted, it was very lovely.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Holiday romance.
Yeah, I've always had a really good time in Los Angeles. When I've gone for work-related things, like you obviously went and it was connected with work. But then I went with my family with no connection with work, and I didn't enjoy it then because I just felt, I felt like an inch tall, to be honest, like irrelevant.
Yeah, well, it is a bit full on. I mean, like I say, I was going, you know, supporting my friend, and I just sort of had all the fun that she couldn't have because she was too busy working. And I think I might have told you this before, but I went with one suitcase and £5 in my pocket. She said, don't worry, you know, you won't need a single thing. Just get on the plane and come. And then I came back with two suitcases and £10 in my pocket.
How did you make the extra £5?
I still don't know. I couldn't believe it when I got back. I said to Tom, I don't know how I've done this. I set off with £5 to tip the driver, and then I came back with £10. I don't know. Yeah, just had all the sort of the fun times that she couldn't have. It was a laugh, actually. And, you know, I had all massages that she was supposed to be having in her room, and I had them all, and had my nails done, and I had every possible treatment. It was the best time of my life.
How lovely. How nice.
Maybe you should be American for a bit, Jane, now.
Well, I know, but the Americans in Los Angeles speak like, or is it Los Angeles speak like that? And it's really annoying, isn't it? Do you think
Yeah.
it's annoying? I don't know. I think it is. I think about the Kardashians
Yeah.
When I went with my family, Dylan, my son, was desperate to see one of the Kardashians. I wasn't so desperate.
Oh. Well, I never saw any Kardashians when I was there. I don't know where they were hiding. I don't know whether I can do the accent or not. But, you
No,
know.
you're doing
Oh,
New
yeah. I did go to New York. That's probably why I can only do you New York. I'm a New York girl in LA, you see. That's me. All this, that's me. I'm in LA as a New Yorker.
Oh, they wouldn't like you. They wouldn't like you. The other side of the no, they're not gonna get you. You're too arty.
Oh, okay. Well, I best not speak them when I'm in LA. Oh, I don't know where
Oh,
I'm going.
you're going southern now.
I'm going down to the deep south to get myself some southern fried chicken, and let's hope I can taste it this time.
I bet
Oh, to be able to taste that southern fried chicken would just do me fine right now. All I can taste is sponge.
I like you saying that, but I like you in that voice. It suits you. It's real good. Especially with your nasality.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll be stuck like that forever now, 'cause the wind looks like it might change, and that might be me done for. Always talking like this on the podcast, talking about bees and how they fly off on, you know, bumpy slides to Blackpool. Oh, well, never mind.
Well, I think that's your best accent. You're real good at that.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it. I just wanted to say one thing. Before I got coronavirus, I was on the allotment with my friend Jenny, you know, the one that's got all the flowers. And she's got these amazing foxgloves. I think they're called parlyflora. They're like an unusual foxglove. And they were full of wool cardabies because they were sort of like, they had like a furry sort of opening. And anyway, it was like their own sort of world. What's it called? A microcosm. It was like a microcosm, and there was I could see the male wool cardabi, and he was actually using his, you know, he's got those spikes on his body to sort of stab other bees, like, and he kept landing on other bumblebees and honeybees and sort of attacking them. And then I saw him mating with the female wool cardabi, but it was ever so weird. It was like it was all his territory, and he was keeping everybody off it by sort of stabbing them with his barbs.
And was he killing them, or was he was just fending them off?
He was just sort of fending them off. I didn't see any of them die, but later I looked closely at a picture, and the barbs are quite big, you know, they're like sort of three sort of spikes on his rear end.
All right.
And me and Jenny, we sat there for ages looking and watching them. It was
Oh,
fascinating.
yeah, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it really was very interesting. I've got a little video actually, I'll send it to you.
Can you see it quite clearly on the video?
Well, you can see them bobbing around, but oh, Tom's just walked in. Somebody sent us a box of Corona Extra beer. Corona beer. As a
Ah.
joke.
Apparently, Corona, their sales went down when coronavirus came out. That's the only beer that I used to buy during Corona. Actually, I think it's a very nice beer.
Oh, well, Tom's got some, but his face looked a bit disappointed when he just came in to show me.
Oh, well, he's probably because he won't be able to taste it.
Well, he's not lost his sense of taste and smell. He's the only ones that's he can still taste things.
All right.
Yeah.
Right, I say. Well, that was lovely to catch up on our Los Angeles little yarns. And we're going to
Oh.
have a little break because, well, you're going to get over COVID.
And what are you going to be doing?
I'm going to go to Dorset.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go to a lovely retreat, which is a dance retreat.
Great.
With live music, which is absolutely beautiful. I did it last year.
Ooh.
And sitting on the Dorset beaches and swimming in the Dorset Sea. So, yes. So we're going to have a little two-week break. But we have got some very interesting guests coming on in our future episodes.
Ooh, how exciting. How exciting. Well, I know I was not my normal self this week, Jane, but it's still lovely to speak to you, and we'll be catching up soon.
Yeah, I think you have been yourself. I think you've been amazing, actually.
I know how to put it on a bit.
You've even given us an array of accents.
Oh, all right, Jane. Well, I'll see you soon. I'm going to go back to bed now in my bee suit.
Yes, you do that, Issa. Loads of love and healing and light.
All right, love you loads. Bye.
Love you loads. Bye.
Bye. And I'll call you up
whenever I'm feeling down. Queen Bees is written and created by Esther Coles and Jane Horrocks. It is produced by Claire Broughton, Andy Goddard and John Wakefield, and partly recorded at The Hives on my allotment near Crouch End in London. Our title music is Sweet Nothing by Amy Mae Ellis and Will Cookson. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Queen Bees Pod for pictures and videos from The Hive. Queen Bees is a Hattrick podcast. It feels so good just to have you around.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.